Welcome, welcome,
Matt Howie.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
You've got a ring of radiation.
You've got a lasso.
There's a whole bunch of like great not safe for work music pieces that I liked this time.
Wow. What's not safe for work about them? Fuck this, fuck that.
They've just got not safe for work lyrics. Yeah, you can see. I'll leave them in your
punch them in the dick.
Window.
Okay.
And punch them in the dick. I thought that was pretty good. It was one of a couple of mediocres. Not safe for work lyrics. And this one is actually a fellow librarian's song.
So lots of good music. What makes them?
Yeah, and then this one I just like because I like the name of the band, Royal Quiet Deluxe, because I have that typewriter.
Oh, cool.
That's the name of a typewriter? Sweet. Yeah. And it's Chinese Fashion, who I don't know too much about from Metafilter Music, so... I just thought it would be good. I mean, Sleepy Pete is the one that did I Kill You, You Die, which was very popular.
Do you know who Chinese Fashion is?
No, do you?
He is the guy who this month tried to get some espresso poured over some ice. He's the guy.
He's the guy that's his blog.
Yeah. He asked for the espresso over ice.
And then was a jerk about it?
No,
and did the blog post?
This post is about him.
I've been away for 2 weeks.
This is from 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Oh, it's been a big Metafilter month. This is what we need to catch up on. We have three major stories, four sort of, involving Metafilter people. So I would say the espresso over ice.
Yeah, and...
Espresso over ice.
Yeah, but he's the one that left a really shitty tip. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they got the Nazi espresso bar owner who like wrote the punch you in the dick like blog post. The owner of the coffee shop.
Oh, wait. So is that where punch him in the dick is?
Yes.
From? Yep. For the music lyrics?
Yep. That is the
But that's not shop. He's not even the one from Royal Quiet Deluxe. That's a totally different user. Are they friends?
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is so confusing.
It's like trying to explain the internet to my grandma.
To your mom.
Look
at these flashcards.
So the guy goes in for the espresso, gets the attitude, and then writes the fuck you note on the dollar tip, which is really weird. But then the owner of the coffee shop, like, because the guy's blog post writing about it got so much traffic from Boing Boing, he wrote this thing about like, no, customer isn't always right. We do things the way they should be. We don't ruin the integrity of the coffee. And because he made some offhand lame joke about, but the next time I ever set foot in that place, I would have, I don't know, matches and gasoline or something. There's like this subtle goofball like hyperbole about like, oh,
yeah.
Burn the place down. So the owner took it seriously and was like, arson? If you step foot in here, I'll punch you in the dick. Like, and it's like, what? That's, yeah. That was like his letter to the internet.
Dude, awesome.
So
wait, the other song that I picked on Metafilter Music called Punch Him in the Dick is from
yes, that is the, unless, I mean,
oh my God, that's hilarious. And I had no idea.
Around, but yeah.
Oh my God, that's great. And I just like the Chinese Fashion song because I like the name of their typewriter name band. And the music has nothing to do with anything.
Nope. It's from 10 years ago.
Okay, they've totally got to be friends because Mediocre, who wrote the notes to punch him in the dick, also commented on the Royal Quiet Deluxe post. But I mean, those guys are all friends. In fact, the Royal Quiet Deluxe post has comments by three of the people whose music songs I picked, elsewhere. At any rate. That's it for Metafilter Music, except that there's a new Metafilter Music challenge up.
Oh, is it up?
That everyone should know about. Yeah, it's up because it's August 1st. And because Flapjacks at Midnight is the one who is the coordinator, and he's a day ahead because he's in Japan. So yeah. I get them like 2 days early.
Oh, cool. So the little challenge players worked out. So you can see last month's challenge all in a nice player.
The challenge players worked great. And I just thought last month's songs were really fun.
Yeah.
Lyric challenge, music challenge, and the style you despise challenge. So I was looking, when's the last time we talked? When was the last podcast?
It was like a month ago. It was end of June. So it's been like all of July is open season. And I think this is podcast 30.
So it was like we were on vacation or something.
Yeah, yeah, I was literally on vacation. You were literally on vacation. And those overlap.
Like a vacation?
Yeah, so
Josh was on vacation. Cortex was on vacation.
That's right.
Did PB go on vacation?
No, he stayed home.
I hope so.
So that was like three weeks. 3 weeks we were gone. Probably 4 weeks total with Josh too. So yeah.
Well, Josh and I were gone the same week. I was actually in Portland while he was out of Portland, and we missed each other entirely.
Did you break into his house and move stuff around and then leave?
I should have had him just leave me keys, right? Because he lives like right downtown.
Yeah.
I bet he's got fast broadband.
Hopefully. Let me see. Where's the... I'm trying to find one more post. I haven't looked at jobs or projects.
Jobs was pretty straightforward. Oh my God, though, there are some awesome projects. In fact, there is one tremendous project and then a couple other really good projects.
So what was your
but there favorite? Was one that was like one of the top projects of all times. It's I think it was, I hope we didn't mention it last time. Let me just check.
No. The real estate one?
Yes. Oh my God, did you see it? It's called It's Lovely, I'll Take It.
Yep.
And basically it's just like the perfect simple blog idea. It takes photos, actual photos of homes from real estate ads, and basically makes fun of them. And it's by our own Corpse in the Library, I think. Yes, it's by the Corpse in the Library. And it's just basically sort of snarky, but like it's one of those things where it's like on the one hand, it's kind of snarky. On the other hand, your apartment looks like a zombie playground, and that's the photo that you think is going to sell it to somebody else. You know, I just read through the whole thing, like just kept clicking back, and just laughing. Like some of these houses have been burned. Some of them have people asleep in the beds. Some of them have, graffiti or like poop in the toilet or whatever.
Yeah,
like it's just, it's horrible.
Yeah. I've never seen a real estate.
And the blog is hilarious.
I've never seen a real estate photo with like humans in it, and there's just so many. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you're just kind of like, what's going on? Why? Like, don't you guys have a friend with a camera? I mean, I understand like people don't take very good pictures, but like your realtor should. These aren't all on Craigslist, you know? Some of them are like real realtor stuff. And it got 84 votes, which is actually pretty incredible.
Yeah. I love the, where is it? No, that wasn't it. Stupid Filter is amazing.
Stupid Filter is amazing. Why don't you explain what Stupid Filter does for people who maybe haven't seen it?
I didn't read about the creation behind it. It just sort of analyzes text input and tries to figure out if it's stupid or not, if it's going to be a dumb comment. The chances of it being dumb. So it's sort of like a spam filter, but for stupidity. If you put in a ton of YouTube or dig comments, you often get this thing is stupid. I grabbed some Metafilter comments. Took me a while to find one that was stupid, but you know, when people revert to all caps or they say something crazy, like it shows up as stupid. And I thought that was awesome. Like, it's almost like we should have this running internally to just have internal ratings for, you know, things that get flagged or something.
Well, isn't that what people were saying? That they were like, you should run this alongside the comments so that you could then have like a grease monkey script that would basically...
That would be cool. Auto-rate.
Yeah, show people and then they could mod up and mod down.
That would be like a filtered slash dot on the fly, kind of, just on based on stupidity rankings.
Yeah, I think it would probably affect the level of discourse, although how, I'm not totally sure.
I don't think but, I would ever do it. It's a fun project idea, though. But yeah.
Well, and it reminds me of, you know, just the whole idea of like prophylactics for memetically transmitted diseases, which is what this page says. Reminds me of that big trolling article that was in the New York Times magazine that everybody was talking about this week.
Oh, you about saw trolling, that, right? About the BTARDs and all that.
Yeah, about the BTARDs and trolling. And don't you kind of feel like Moot from like 4chan like has a publicist now? And like all he does is like tries to get himself in the New York Times like every couple weeks looking like a normal guy compared to these kind of slavering dorks?
No, I think
I feel that way.
I think
a little
it's
bit.
Sort of a critical mass thing. Like Something Awful was probably in the same position 2 or 3 years ago where it's just like so many memes started from there that people just started to go. You know, every know-it-all was like, oh, that was on Something Awful 6 months ago. That, like, you know, it's eventually a reporter figures that out and starts following them. I don't know. Like, I mean, everything comes from 4chan that's funny or mean or stupid or, you know. So it's kind of like this default source now.
Yeah, and that reporter got paid money to, you know, live with trolls for some amount of time, which I always thought was kind of
kind
of amusing.
If I read one sentence or two sentences about that Anne Hero thing, I just stopped. I stopped reading. Like, it's just so, like, awful. Like, so unfunny and stupid that I didn't even read more than...
Right, because they made fun of the kid who killed himself, which is horrible.
Yeah, it was just sort of like, that was the fodder for, like, years and years of goofy little projects with some dead kid who committed suicide at like what, 13 or something. It's just like so dumb. It was just so dumb.
And then they were like calling his family at home and
Yeah, I read that. That was when I stopped reading the article. I was just like, what? It's gone that far? Like, I just saw the goofy fake online memorials and stupid comments on his MySpace page. Ugh. So awful. It's like the worst of the worst of the worst.
I was trying to find the thread on Metafilter about that New York Times trolling article, but whoever it was didn't use the tags troll or trolling.
It was at like 9 p.m. the other night, just like a night or two ago. Maybe last night. It got posted like
late. But I did
late.
Find this. Have you seen that before?
No. What is
it's
this?
It's like Make an O'Reilly book.
Oh.
It's just Make an O'Reilly book. It's not. Yeah. But have you seen it?
It's yeah, funny. Yeah. Huh. It's funny. This is a self link.
It is funny.
I haven't seen this actual one.
Somebody said that I sound like an annoying American on the podcast.
Who said that? What are you?
I forget who it was.
Reading email now.
I deleted somebody's Ask Metafilter thread.
Uh-huh.
About like why are Americans so obnoxious? And then I got a whole bunch of like really shitty MeFi mail about like you should listen to yourself on the podcast. You sound horrible. So I just thought I would throw that out there. I was, you know, depressing.
Did I tell you? I heard that in the UK. When I was in London,
you heard what in the UK?
When I was in London last year, I heard, you know, on the podcast, you guys say awesome about 64 times in an hour. I was like, yeah, that's just sort of.
Is that true? We probably do. We're just enthusiastic and we
I know,
like things.
But there, someone was trying to explain.
We probably
to me,
do need a thesaurus, though, don't we?
Someone was trying to explain to me that the phrase awesome is only used by the very lowest classes of sort of like world, I don't know, professional wrestling fans or something in the UK. Like nobody says awesome who's over like the age of 12 or something. And that It was,
oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, like, it's just a weird, they're like, that's just a really weird word you never hear over here, especially from educated people. I was like, whoa, wow, sorry, I had no idea.
I had no idea either. That's great.
Yeah, I was like,
it's a terrific. It's a. I need a thesaurus. Someone
Yeah, we tried to come up with new words to replace awesome, but it wasn't easy. God, I can't find the New York Times thing either. It was a really like bad thing.
No, somebody did, and I didn't comment in it.
I saw a double.
And I didn't remove any comments in it.
I saw a double of it, but yeah, the original is not very easy to find. Jeez, I can't find it.
Well, we'll track it down a little bit later. Yeah. One more project I just wanted to like mention is the Herf Derf Data Eater, which is just basically a different way to like get the Metafilter info dump.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's just a little project.
Yeah. I think someone else had a nice SQL, web-based SQL thing. Oh, this is like they've massaged the data. That's kind of cool. Yeah,
it puts it all into a really nice database and it'll go grab it for you and it's cool.
Very nice.
Now I'm not going to call anything awesome ever again.
Now you're worried about it.
I'm totally self-conscious, yeah.
Let's do Metafiltery stuff. Any big Metafiltery meetup news? Did you go to several meetups probably in the last month?
You know, I only went to the one in Portland, which was like nice and like really small. It was like some people I knew and some people I didn't know, but it was like at my friend's house. Like my friend was like, I'm going out of town, have people over, stay at my house. So I said, great. Had a bunch of people over. It was like a small meetup, like 8 or 9 people. And then somebody came through on stilts looking for my friend.
And
we had to tell her who he was. And we were like, he's on stilts. Is that enough to identify him? Well, maybe we should mention he's got Spider-Man tattoos on the back of both of his calves. And it turned out she did actually know who he was. And you know who came to the Metafilter meetup who I had never met before? Douglas. Oh, God. What's Douglas's username on Metafilter? Doug Wolk, who just won an Eisner Award for his book, Reading Comics.
What? Jesus.
I know. He's famous, and I had never met him before, and he's super nice, and he's a friend of a friend of mine, and
Reading
he's my friend, too.
Comics.
And so, you know, I was just like right there.
A graphic
right there.
Novels, work, and what they mean. Douglas Wolk. Huh.
Yeah, and he's a user.
I've seen this in window fronts all over the place. Oh, because I was in San Diego during Comic-Con. This was everywhere.
Comic-Con. Yeah, and it won at Comic-Con an Eisner Award. I think it was at Comic-Con.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that was kind of neat, too. And it was also like, you know, the sort of usual suspects, but then some new people. And
it wasn't too weird being in the house instead of the bar.
I sort of like being in houses because then people who don't kind of like drink can kind of hang out. I mean, I don't know.
That's good.
It's just me and I hang out with like a different crowd. But like going to a bar is fun. And then like not going to the bar is fun. So I like doing both. But that was the only meetup I went to.
Okay.
Did you go to any meetups down in San Diego? Anywhere that you went?
Nope. We passed over the 9th anniversary without even doing a meetup. I totally forgot till like the day before.
Oh, I didn't forget. I just, you know, was like, we're not going to be around.
We'll make,
so that's not going to happen. But
we'll make
10th anniversary,
yeah.
I'm making stickers.
Sweet.
We're going to make t-shirts. We're going to meet in Iowa somewhere so that everybody can go get cheap tickets. It's going to be great.
Wow, you got a kiss from Jane Weedland. Awesome.
Pretty cool, huh?
So, Metafilter stuff. Huge Metafilter month for people on Metafilter involved in goofball stories. The aforementioned...
Talk about it.
The Espresso one, I'll just go over them quick. The Espresso one, the DNS exploit, humongous DNS exploit.
That was my favorite.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. Talk about what that is a little bit because...
Yeah. And then
talk about the DNS exploit.
The Stevis running for Congress or state Congress. That was awesome.
Talk about them for people who didn't, you know.
So let's do the DNS one. Yeah. So, security.
Metafilter user.
Efugas or something?
Efugas? Efugas?
I never have to pronounce these things. I just have to read them. Yeah, where did he go? There's Efugas? That's probably like some Spanish word for meatball soup or something. I don't know. It sounds like familiar.
Efugas, that's what I...
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's that. Not a fan of the oil. Yeah, so major security flaw in the underlying DNS system, a really complicated, you know, exploit that could rock the entire web, was like announced by a super white hat researcher, you know, like a month in advance of some conference. And then it turns out 10 comments in that it's Efugas.
That it's one of our guys, like one of our low user number guys.
I love the sheepish. Oh yeah, I'm Dan Kaminsky, the guy in the article. Yeah, sorry. But then he went on to explain stuff and answer questions. It was great.
Yeah, no, it was totally great. I'm pretty sure I sidebarred that because I just thought it was terrific, and everybody was really happy about it.
Love the sheepish. Oh yeah, that's me. That was just hilarious. And it became sort of national news, and Apple just released their security update for all their stuff last night. And like Apple was like leaving users out in the lurch for like a week or two there after it was revealed what the hack was, and there wasn't really a fix for Apple computers aside from like use OpenDNS for your DNS or something like that.
Use some other DNS,
yeah.
Wow.
So it was like every Linux nerd, you know, was like patched in 30 seconds before it ever was even revealed. But a lot of Apple computers weren't. I don't know what Windows boxes were like, but there were a few actual exploits in the wild. You could basically claim your fake site is google.com through, you know, lots and lots of difficult hacking, but it was a really bad thing. It looks like, you know, it's been patched.
And it was our dude. Yeah. And looking at the Stevis thing, Stevis, was on the sidebar on the same day as Metafilter got our millionth favorite.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Because I was like, I already put something on the sidebar. So, yeah, talk about the campaign in Kansas. Basically, it got posted. This was another one of those situations where there was a Metafilter post.
Yeah, and we didn't even know. I didn't connect the dots. I was like, I didn't recognize Sean Tevis as Stevis from the site. But yeah, some internet nerd. Like, I love this just because, especially on Metafilter, when we talk politics, it's all about, you know, what, outrage fatigue, exhaustion. Why won't someone do something?
And then also, nobody's got a clue. These campaigns don't speak to me. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and what can I do in the middle of nowhere? There's a sense of powerlessness.
Right, my state's going to go for someone else. Why should I even bother leaving the house?
So he makes a beautiful, goofy little XKCD-inspired comic about how the internet can take over. Because this is a really small potatoes Kansas representative, state rep, in the state Congress, not in the national Congress. And these campaigns can be won or lost for like $10,000. I mean, if you can like put up enough signs and meet enough people in your little area, it's usually, I mean, where I'm from, my little state congressional district is only like three towns around here. And it's only like, I don't know, 50,000 people voting for you total. So
we've only got one representative in the whole state.
Even on the state level? Even on the state level?
At the state level, no. It's like, it's three towns.
Yeah, yeah. So these things are small potatoes. They're not that hard to do. So, yeah, his opponent's been, you know, it's this old guy who wants to run public school from a Bible and creationism all the way. And, you know, he's raised something like $20,000, and it was a lot of money. So he thought, if I can get, what was it, 3,000 people to give $10. I can blow him out of the water in terms of raising money. And in what, 24 to 36 hours, he got $95,000 in donations.
The thing that was so great, too, was like watching, for me, who knew nothing about this until Metafilter, and I think I happened to be in Portland because I was hanging out with Sleepy Pete and Melissa May, who uh-huh. are from Kansas.
Oh,
and yeah. And so is hanging out with them and like reading the thread and watching the numbers,
yeah.
you know, tick off like, oh, hey, now we've got whatever, you know, this many donors, that many donors, this many donors, whatever. And, you know, people took him up on stuff like in the thread, like, you know, what do you believe in and what's your thing? And him and Miko kind of went back and forth on this and that. And it was interesting watching that happen. Yeah, 4,000 donors, 3,000 donors, blah, 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 blah. You could actually watch it unfold in sort of real time, and it was very exciting.
Yeah, I was reloading it for like a day and a half, like hoping.
Yeah, and I don't do that often for threads I'm not really participating in.
And it was it was great, I think, because such a small potatoes race that a candidate can be completely open about, like, I mean, in the thread, people are attacking him, especially over immigration issues. And he was like, he's like, I'm going to rethink my position on it by the end of the thread, which was great. It was like, you know.
Well, because people were like, you need to have, a thought out position and not be glib about it because your opponent is pissed off and going to have a whole bunch of things to say.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that was just so great. It'll be awesome if he wins. If he doesn't, that's such a bummer. But it was a very internet-friendly approach. It's funny as heck. And, it looks like he's blown the guy away in terms of raising funds. It'd be great to see him actually win.
And we'll see, what happens. One of the other things that I loved, only because it was another one of those, like, everybody in the thread has, like, kind of a sit back and go awe moment. And it also involves Astro Zombie, who I believe everybody is in love with this month, is the lion in a sidecar on Vertical Wall of Death link to a Vintage Photographs live journal group. And like, number one, the photo is awesome. It is exactly what it says it is, and it is real. Number two, there's a whole bunch of like other neat photos, and then people in the thread just all have exactly the same response to the lion in the sidecar on the Vertical Wall of Death, which is just like, holy fucking shit. You know, somebody was like, the only thing I would like better is a link that would let me go back to 2 minutes ago so that I can see the lion in the sidecar for the first time again.
That is an awesome photo. This is the greatest. I could totally see why he titled it finally a live journal that's readable or something. This is the greatest live journal ever.
Ida Tecker got a little pissed off at that.
Oh my god, this is so creepy. The skin of an elephant.
Isn't it? I don't even know what that is a picture of. Elephant skin? Or is it like an inflatable elephant? Or what do they do with it?
Dude, it's like 1940, dude. They skinned an elephant.
Did you ask the people in the UK if they all call each other dude the way we do?
Oh, yeah, probably not. It's probably something also dumb 12-year-olds do.
That would make sense. My thesaurus doesn't say anything by dude. I'm out of ideas.
Do they make...
Governor.
Do they make, like, elephant skin clothing or something? Oh, it's creepy.
Yeah, I think so. Well, they make walrus jackets and stuff.
Ostrich
and walruses
shoes.
And elephants are like the same animal, basically. One's got a nose.
Creepy. These are great. This is like great. Community
well, and stuff. Astro Zombie like picked out some cool ones, like the dog in the gas mask. But the whole thing is just freaking awesome. It's freaking awesome. And it's like just one of those things where you're like, oh my god, I love Metafilter. Yeah, what's the deal with the flattened elephant? It makes me creeped out.
They'd kill elephants all the time back in 100 years ago. You know, what's his name?
Oh,
Edison,
you think it's like
everything.
Museum people?
Yeah.
I guess I was linking it too closely with like the sidecar story. So I was like, what? No, that makes sense. Yeah, the first couple comments are in Russian, so I can't.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yes, it's hilarious.
Where did that go? The best thing ever in the... Let me make sure this was... Yeah, this was just missed the last podcast. like by a day or two, was the Wally thread about Wally, the reactions about
this
Wally.
This is also about Astro Zombie. Should we just make this that the Astro Zombie podcast?
I forgot. Yeah.
Music by Astro Zombie, Metatalk thread about Astro Zombie. Does Astro Zombie need a job? Maybe someone can employ Astro Zombie or Astro Zombie 2 or 3.
I just loved how this wonderful, beautiful story saved this horrible, awful, politicized thread about the movie Wally being mean to fat people and what else?
Is it mean to fat people?
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, people turn fat and lazy and kind of makes light. Oh, and the environmentalism, so like the right.
It's like herf derf, ugly American kind of thing.
Yeah, and right wingers freaked out about the, it's like watching a fucking Al Gore movie for 2 hours, ugh. But having that all saved by an awesome story of Astro Zombie's girlfriend who watched the Wally trailer.
Who made a video of herself watching the Wally trailer and what?
Well,
crying?
she cried the first time it happened at the theater and he thought it was kind of sweet and funny. And then she watched it when she got home on YouTube and cried. So then she recorded it. She was like, I can't stop doing this. And, you know, it doesn't stop being touching. So then she posted the video and then it got a lot of traffic and exposure. And then people at Pixar started watching that. And the story is about how
she got invited to the preview, I think, and everybody was awesome to her.
Yeah.
Like, totally awesome to her.
It was about...
And him, yeah.
Her video was done about 9 months before the debut of the movie, and like they had, you know, 14-hour days for the next 9 months ahead of them as programmers, and they sort of used it as a, I think, a motivational tool internally at Pixar. Like, everyone watched this, you know, 2-minute video of a woman crying at our freaking animated robot. That's what we're here to do. Make movie magic. Go, people. And so she sort of became the internal mascot, I think. And then they invited her to the preview and she got to stand up and everyone sort of applauded
her. Was like,
her.
You're awesome.
Yeah, it's so great. And he has all these great pictures of touring the studios and like they got the red carpet treatment out west with a nice preview. And yeah, it's the coolest thing ever. And
sorry.
That reminds you, yeah, Pixar is a huge Disney corporation that actually still has humans at the controls doing nice things.
Well, and it was interesting juxtaposed with this post, which I wasn't otherwise necessarily going to mention, but it was Navel Gazer's post about Disney that shut down their Florida animation studio, basically, that they're done with
drawing.
They're done with 2D animation, and they shut down their...
Yeah, that was a long time coming. But I guess they're coming back.
But that was it. They shut down the studio in 2004. And then I guess 2 years ago, part of the Pixar deal was saying that 2D animation would come back. And I didn't actually just see the thread. This was one of my, like, Metafilter gives me my headlines. So I didn't even read it. But it kind of goes in with the rest of the Pixar story, I thought. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. We did espresso over ice. I love the library story. It's great. The
one about the cake pans or the one about... Because there was a library story today about cake pans.
No, the patron with the gay marriage and a kid's book that must be removed from shelves. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, and then what happened was the librarian wrote back this like very long, very public... I think letter that many people describe as like, ooh, smackdown.
Yeah, but not really. You know, it's respectful. There's a lot of like, that was a smackdown. I can't believe he maintained composure. And other people are like, dude, that's how you're supposed to be a professional.
And librarians have to deal with this shit all the damn time.
Yeah, someone tells a story of someone just walking in going, you need to get rid of all the Oscar Wilde books because I heard he's a fag. Like, what? Like, that's crazy. Oh, there it is. It's like one of the first comments. And then someone defaces the books a couple weeks later after they refused. Someone just ruined all the books.
Yeah, and, you know, anybody who's, like, spent any time in the world of libraries knows that this kind of stuff happens all the time. It's like, hey, welcome to working with the public.
He didn't post the original request, but he posted details about it. And I thought it sounded angry from the get-go because it was like, you need to respond to this serious request from me as a patron. and it must be over email. And I read that must be over email so she could forward it to everyone that, you know, agrees with
must her. Must be over email, and also, like, yeah, for, like, legal paper trail reasons. No, I don't want to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You have to email it to me so I can send it to my...
It was, and yeah. It wasn't, I thought it said something about, like, no printed things allowed either, and that's when I thought, oh, this is someone who wants to, like, forward it to her church group to start a campaign or something.
Well, because the person was like, I shouldn't have to discuss things like this with my 5-year-old, and people are like, what, weddings? Gay weddings?
Yeah.
Like, you're not talking about butt sex, it's just a freaking wedding, and that's up to you, you know, you're the mom, go. Yeah, and it was a lively conversation, because there's a lot of librarians on Metafilter, and a lot of them had, you know, interesting... I mean, it's a little bit preaching to the converted, you know, because pretty much everyone on Metafilter is like, yeah, that's totally fine. That person's batshit insane. But, you know, there were a lot of people talking about having to deal with that kind of stuff in their, you know, in their communities. But I thought you were talking about the Midwestern libraries that check out cake pans.
What? No
See?
Way.
Metafilter, again, blows your mind.
Wow, that's like a tool lending library or something.
Well, which people talk about, which in Berkeley, California, of course.
San Francisco,
you can borrow tools.
Yep.
Yeah, San Francisco and a lot of libraries. I mean, it makes total sense, right?
Cake pan.
20-foot ladder? Yeah, so like your kid's turning 8 and you want a Batman cake pan, but you don't want to freaking buy a Batman cake pan.
Yeah, you only want it once. That's awesome.
Totally.
Oh.
Totally. 52 comments, 17 favorites, and it's been up since like...
Yesterday?
2 days ago. And it's Deathalicious, who's another one of the Mefibarian
puzzles. God, that is awesome. I had no idea. That's so funny.
Somebody, of course, is like, I'm going to lend him my penis pan. So, yeah. Which is interesting from an intellectual freedom perspective, but yeah, I don't know.
Someone should have a blog of strange things you can get in a library for regional reasons or something like that for,
It's a good idea. There's a bunch of libraries that lend out art, and then there's the... Oh, the library in Europe somewhere, the one that like was a lending library for people. You could like borrow a person that was from like a different sort of cultural background. You could rent a gypsy or a gay person.
Have
or
dinner
a,
with
I don't,
a Muslim or something.
Yeah. No shit. And it's supposed to, and it's Europe. So it's not the crazy sort of hotbed of insanity that America is about stuff like that. And it was actually kind of an interesting... There was a thread on Metafilter. It was years ago.
The earlier mentioned espresso over ice thing, the only thing I wanted to say that was interesting about it, it sort of went everywhere on the entire blogosphere. And I thought it was hilarious reading food blogs in that most people sided with the coffee shop owner.
That you don't put espresso over ice?
They were like, no, the customer's not always right. Sometimes, you know, a chef or a barista or, you know, coffee jockey, what have you, you know, knows what is best. And it is...
Well, I mean, it's like asking for your filet mignon well done, right?
Yeah.
Like...
If that's what they want, though, like, you can't refuse. Ugh.
Well, you can technically, but it's not a savvy business decision.
Yeah, it's a terrible business decision.
And it just makes you seem snotty. What we always used to do, I think I told you about this before, I used to go to like Dick's Drive-In, which wasn't really kind of a drive-in, but it was like a burger joint in Seattle.
Seattle, yeah.
And like you'd go to Vivace, which had like the best espresso in all of Seattle, and get like a double shot of espresso, carry it with you, go to Dick's Drive-In and get like a 50-cent ice cream sundae, and then pour the espresso over the ice cream sundae and just walk down Broadway and be like the happiest person alive. It's like one of the things that I miss out here where there's not as much espresso. So it's kind of like ice, and I'm the customer, and I, you know, $3, and I am wrong.
I told the story of going to a shishi restaurant in Soma, south of Market in San Francisco in 2001 or so. And it was like right after sort of the boom is busting, and it's sort of this, you know, fancy restaurant that is propped up by those kinds of people, you know, the biz dev people from .coms.
Sure.
And it was like one of the last meals I sort of went out to eat with before, you know, I had to save all my money.
Before you got depressed. And
yeah, we were with four friends, and a friend asked for a mojito, and, you know, I think someone else was drinking, you know, sidecar, and what's that lemon thing? Lemon drop, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Those are good. Those are all delicious.
These are all like the drinks of the day. And mojitos are brand new, sorta. And the waiter returned about 5 minutes later and goes, sorry, we can't do mojitos. And he was like, oh, why? What's wrong? Like, you don't have mint or sugar or whatever it takes? He was like, no, the bartender thinks they're too trendy.
We don't want to sell anything.
Yeah, he goes, he's not going to make it. It's too trendy. He thinks it's a cliche, really, to order one. Like, which is also like an insult.
Oh my God, that's so fuck you. Yeah.
And we were like, what? Did you just say that? Can you repeat that? And he did. And we were like, I can't believe he didn't just get up and walk out. But, you know, he drank water or something. But yeah, could not believe a bartender refused to serve something for being too cliched.
Yeah, I'm sure they're trendy. You can buy them on a JetBlue flight. Well, like, whatever. I mean, yeah, but they are also delicious.
It's 7 years later and they're everywhere, but they were kind of like newish at the time. It was kind of the hot drink and it was too hot for that bartender.
And he just refused. Poo-poo.
Yeah.
No.
I
you can't.
I couldn't believe some of the food blogs I read were just like, yeah, fuck the customer. He was going to ruin it. Yeah, fuck, kick him out.
Well, and especially it's a coffee shop. Like, I could yeah. see it if it's like, you're like, yeah, can I order the duck whatever, whatever without the sauce? Yeah. And they're kind of like, dude, the sauce is kind of part of the meal. Like, eh. But like with a coffee drink, it just seems like there's a lot more room to move there.
Yeah. And you have a lot more competition. And I got a personal message from Jason Levine, who lives down the street, and goes, I hate that place. They're such freaking jerks in there. Like, I'm so glad to see someone take them down a peg.
Good. Happy.
I think that's about everything for Metafilter. That I love.
What else you were in love with Metafilter? Yeah, I mean, you know.
Oh, Miko's van hacking.
Oh, yeah. Van hacking is another one of those things where it's like, because, yeah, the sort of median age of Metafilter, I feel like a lot of times is my age.
Yeah. That was something I remembered, you know, lovely goofball airbrushed Star Wars on the sides of vans in Southern California when I was
My first boyfriend's family had one of those, and I went to see my very first concert, which was Rush, in one of those vans. So, you know, it's nothing but fond memories for me. And I lived on the East Coast. Like, that's even weirder.
Kay's parents
you figured
had
you
one,
were all doing those
like in 1976 and they kept it. She had it in college, like old orange shag carpeting and a table and a couch, and like it was weird.
Well, my boyfriend did get to drive it later in high school, which was pretty damn cool.
They eventually had to like take it out and shoot it, but yeah, it was driven for 20 years.
Well, and they get like 2 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, it wasn't something to use as a daily driver.
No. But yeah, no, I love that. I love that post. I loved it very much.
I think that's about it.
It for Metafilter?
Yeah.
So the good news is we can look at the 30 days most favorited posts.
Oh, yeah. I haven't looked at that on
in Ask Metafilter, and it's actually going to be the... here's another sort of Ask Metafilter tandem. The... Scrabble post in Ask Metafilter about how to do well on Scrabble, which of course devolved into a fight about whether the Scrabble dictionary words are words or not. And the
those are all good tons of good simple techniques for how to basically maximize your Scrabble score. That was great.
Well, and the whole deal is it's not somebody being like, I want to go do competition It's somebody being basically like, my girlfriend's good at Scrabble. I'd like to be better at Scrabble so that we can play together and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, how great is that? Like, that seems nice. So it got a little fighty, but not.
Yeah, it was this one. Not too terribly fighty. This is like 10 steps to kick ass in Scrabble or something. Great.
Yeah. Is it inertia or is it inedita?
I'm reading it. Oh, inedita. I'm reading it too fast.
And then it partners with Facebook shutting down Scrabulous, which for many of us, Facebook was really the... Scrabulous was like the only reason we were even on Facebook.
Yeah. That's a long time coming. Like, they should have shut it down within a month or Scrabble
Well, the original thread about the lawsuit starting was in January.
And the, and like I've been at like 5 tech conferences where Scrabblicious is mentioned because like it's the only reason.
Scrabblicious?
Whatever.
Scrabulous?
It's the only reason. It's the only reason any like adult over 25 uses Facebook is just to play Scrabble. But a lot
totally,
of people,
because there wasn't a decent Scrabble game. Yeah. Otherwise, you have to play it by email jump through all these hoops to play it. Otherwise, so
For the last year, I've been at conferences going like, look, here we're watching like the death of an old industry in slow motion. Like it already happened with music, movies. Like, and look, Hasbro, they could buy 2 guys from India who made this and have the most popular application on Facebook and sell ads and sell more Scrabble board sets and make it good for everyone involved. Or they can shut it down and be idiots and they chose Path.
And that's what they did. This was another thread that I just really enjoyed just in terms of like being a whole bunch of really good stuff to sit around and mess around with. Question is simple. Who are some great comedians I've probably never heard of that I can watch on YouTube?
Yeah, that was a good.
It was. I had no idea that who was it? One of the comedians that I really, really like, who I, of course, am total... Oh, Jake Johansson. You can see, like, hour-long Jake Johansson stand-up routines on YouTube. I didn't even know you could watch stuff that was an hour long.
Yeah, I think, so, I've noticed this, especially in L.A. comedians. They all have, what's a special thing.com, I think it is. They embrace the web, like, way early, like the L.A. comedy scene. And it's really, It's about getting yourself seen. And it's not, like... I mean, people bite each other's material, and there's a whole culture of, you know...
Joe Rogan is a thief.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's like, there's no money to be... Like, there's no secret, right? Like, the jokes are in my head. Like, I need to get them out. You need to know who I am. Then you'll book me. So They've totally embraced, like... I mean, I remember seeing, like, 8 hours of every set ever by comedians from L.A., like, posted on their own sites for everyone to download for free and keep... So that they would like them and ask for them at bars and stuff. So it's great to see them like totally embracing YouTube. Like there's nothing, they don't lose any money. They just gain, you know, possibility of more money by putting all their routines up.
Right.
I loved this one for personal reasons, which is...
Oh, the intermediate swimming advice?
Yeah,
did I give advice on
I'm
that
a 30-year-old, you know, 30-something person who knows how to swim and knows how to prevent drowning, yet I can't swim a lap to save my life. And
you know, runners can't swim. That was like one of the old Ask Metafilter threads.
Well, when I think of when I think of like how good are you at swimming, if I asked everyone I know, it would be this bimodal curve. It wouldn't be a bell curve where everyone's average at swimming. It'd be this like 2-peak curve where everyone can barely swim to keep from drowning.
That a lot of people cannot drown in a pool.
Right. And then everyone else...
And they like to flap around.
And everyone else is kick-ass and can do 10 miles and there's nothing in between. So I had, personally, it was like... Kay is like a crazy swimmer. She can go out and swim 2 miles and I'm like, I don't even know how to do that or what to start with or what to wear or I don't even know why I need goggles. Like, what? And
I actually don't wear goggles.
Wow, you're hardcore.
I can't, they always leak and they make me spazzy, so I just deal with like blinky eyes.
So I'm like, where is the, there's nothing. There's pro swimmers and there's like people that don't want to drown. That's it. Like there's no classes at my local pool for people that are like, I would like to become a swimmer, you know.
But I don't drown, so I don't need to take a beginner flap around class.
So it was a great...
Well, and people had a lot of different advice. Yeah. Like, should you take the beginner class if you do know how to swim, but you don't know how to swim well? Because that's really the thing, right? For a lot of people, they can swim from one end of the pool to the other, and then they get to the other end, and they're like,
I took, like, a scuba class 10 years ago, and, like, yeah, our warm-ups would kill me. Like, we'd have to do 2 or 3 laps, and by the end of that, I was, like, done. And like I had 2 hours of swimming things to do and it was horrible. But I mean, like I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm a pretty good cyclist and an okay runner, a terrible swimmer. And you know, the first thing you do when you're in your 30s and you're bored is like make yourself do triathlons. But I have to learn how to swim better. I have to learn how to.
Although swimming in a triathlon is not a ton of swimming, right?
Well, they know.
Three quarters of a mile, half a mile?
Everyone is famously terrible at swimming in triathlons, so they don't make them very
really?
Long. Yeah. Like,
see, the reason that I don't do triathlons is I can't run. And running's easy, right? I mean, yeah. Relatively speaking, to learn.
It's just time.
You can get better faster.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish, yeah.
I think you could be a swimmer. Well, and part of the issue, too, is dudes sink. Because they're not, no, seriously, because they don't have as much body fat.
Yeah.
And so as a result, there's a lot more flailing just trying to keep like your ass out, like not dragging behind you. Because what a lot of people do is they paddle and then like their whole body kind of drags behind them through the water. So learning how to keep your body floating if you're a guy, if you're a girl, most women anyhow, float better. So it's mostly dealing with propelling, not staying above the water.
Huh. I was in a pool just last week at a hotel, and I was like, oh, this is the first long pool I've been in. I'll try to swim a lap. And I after
hotels never have long pools.
This is like a 25-meter, like, real pool.
That's what I swim in.
And I was like, after 20 feet, I stopped. I was just like, I don't even remember how to do a freestyle stroke. Like, I think it's time to go back to the beginner class for me, but yeah.
And the difference between knowing how to do it well and not knowing how to do it well is a lot. So, yeah. And I always love the swimming.
Oh, and I've had people, the thing I hate about swimming is people tell me, you'd be a great swimmer. You're so tall, and I bet you'd go through the water like a freaking yacht. And I'm a bulky guy, and I have to fight. And like, I'm like, I don't even know I'm good. I need to figure it out.
Bulky guys float, though.
That's
true. Unless they're just all muscle. Heavy, you know, bigger guys, taller guys just have more weight to drag around regardless, you know? They just look at, like, Olympic swimmers and they're all, like, tall, but they're all beanie, too.
I can't wait for the Olympics coming up to see freakish body types on parade.
I know.
Just, like, softball women, swimmer men. Like, just, like, swimmer men. I mean, I'll cut this from the podcast, but... They're always like, they have way too long of arms and crazy shoulder muscles and like
huge, huge shoulders and like these little waists, and they're almost naked.
Yeah. And they have gigantic chest cavities for their lungs. Like, you know, like they would look weird on the streets, but they just happen to win.
They can't find clothes that fit.
They won the genetic lottery. Kay's brother was a pro swimmer. His waist was like 28 and his shoulders are like 40 or something. Like,
oh, God.
He's like an upside down triangle. His clothes still fit weird to this day, even though he put on 50 pounds since, you know, he was a pro swimmer. But yeah, like.
Right.
Ugh. But I love the Olympics for just like everyone looks the same in each sport.
Right.
It's like.
Because there's an optimal body type.
Yeah. And the sport. Selects for that. Like, you can't be great at, you know, cycling and be over 6 feet tall. It's impossible. There's too much. Like, the wattage just doesn't work out. Like, bodies can't do that.
Right.
So, yeah. Love bodies on parade. Is there anything else in Ask Metafilter?
There were a lot of, like, you know, comments that I saw. I was kind of interested, although, you know, I don't know if other people would sort of find this interesting, but... This gal, I think, bought like a Timbuktu bag. Did you see this?
Uh-uh.
Like somebody bought like a computer bag and it has, I didn't know this. They have tags on the inside of them that just say quality shit since 1989. And this person was, you know, vaguely kind of annoyed by it and was like, how do I complain without seeming like a prissy pain in the ass? And
you can do it on Satisfaction. The whole company is on that site.
I think that's what somebody suggested. There was basically, you know, some people who were like, rah, you are a prissy pain in the ass. But there was a lot of people who gave good advice. And I feel like it's one of the things sort of Ask Metafilter is good for is being like, this didn't really go my way. And I'm not sure why. Like, you know, whether it's like people think I'm rude and I don't think I'm rude or... you know, I want to complain about this thing or, you know, we got stuck with this hotel, you know, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
I feel like having like 100 people tell you like, actually, that does seem totally rude or whatever it is, like, I think can really help people with those kind of problems. So that was a good example
think,
of that. I felt
Timbuktu
like.
Timbuktu started with bike messengers in San Francisco and sort of.
Oh, but yeah,
now
totally.
They're totally mainstream and legitimized. So some of that old
Except,
baggage
right.
might be kind of weird.
Yeah, well, and she was just sort of like, I really wasn't expecting that. Like,
what's the deal? So the resolve, what? The resolution is really like, hey, maybe I'm a little too uptight.
Well, she was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'm not their target. I mean, because a lot of people were like, maybe you're not their target market. I mean, one of the things about the sort of global shopping mall is that, you know, you can basically afford to piss off a certain amount of customers as long as, you know, you can keep enough customers, you know, your 1,000 people paying you $30 or whatever the heck it is, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's part of the Stevis thing. He could basically be like, it's okay for me to dislike my opponent's position on immigration. I just have to have the people who like me want to support me.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that came out a lot.
And I feel like I see that a lot in Ask Metafilter stuff. What did you see on Ask Metafilter that,
that
you liked?
I covered everything I liked. It seems like there's been a billion anonymous posts that were interesting, but I can't think of one offhand. There's just been so many, and there's, you know, 10 a day or something. There's just been some hilarious ones.
There's been like, yeah, 3 or 4 a day. People are taking a lot more. I mean, popular favorites winds up with an awful lot of
useful,
an awful lot of exercise
stuff.
The funny blurting thing that got favorited by so many people, which is something that I know nothing about. Basically, when I remember something embarrassing from my life, I compulsively make some kind of noise.
And this was sort of the porn in the woods. Like, it's not just me. Like, everyone just went, yeah.
Like, 113 people marked this as a favorite?
Yeah,
what?
I saw people blogging about it, going, like, on other blogs, going, everyone go read this Ask Metafilter thread. It's the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I I've never, like, it's not a thing that I do, so I don't know anything about it and was as surprised as everyone else. And then it turned into a MetaTalk thread. I don't remember how.
I could identify with it. I don't think I'd do it, but, like, yeah, if I think of this one embarrassing thing, if I just thought of it without thinking about it like I am now, I probably would go, oh, or, ugh, like, just thinking about it. Rethinking, you know, some moment from sixth grade or something.
Yeah, see, that never, I have no familiarity with that whatsoever. So it was interesting for me
never,
to read it.
You never self-reflect ever.
No, I'm embarrassed all the time, but it doesn't cause me to involuntarily make any noise, you know? I think of, like, embarrassing things and I'm like, that was embarrassing, like, in my mind, with my mouth closed. So, yeah, I was a little surprised. Oh yeah, and then it generated the MetaTalk thread that had, you know, 75 comments, which also had more people talking about other kind of twitchy things that they did. I mean, it's one of the things I think about having, like, a bunch of sort of high functioning, nerdy, geeky people together is they do tend to have some of the same affectations, whatever, or not affectations, I don't know what you call it. Like, their brains work the same way, so they share this website, and then it turns out the fact that their brains work the same way mean that they also share other weird things in common, you know?
Yeah.
Who knew? Blah.
I thought there was a...
And the Metafilter, one of the Metafilter teams won at Bar Trivia in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Whoa.
That was something I learned from MetaTalk. You know, the Metafilter teams are unstoppable at Bar Trivia. Well, one of the teams won, and I think the other team was in third because they had too many of them. Like, there was too many people for one team.
Are you allowed to pull up an iPhone and Wikipedia during bar quizzes, or no?
Are you serious? They're not Googling quizzes, Matt.
Who's fastest on the touchscreen typepad? That's a competition to have. Right, that about wraps it up for the podcast.
Great. Punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Fuckers talk shit, I'ma punch him in the dick, rah! Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. Motherfuckers talk shit, I'ma punch him in the dick. Yo, look at that chump, see the way that he struts. Don't kick him in the rug, go nuts on his nuts. Just pop a squat, start letting off the shots. Like knock, 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 just cold cock, just cold. Do all the cock.
knockers, nutcrackers, ball breakers, meter beaters, people boxing and baby makers. Put a sock to the jaw, gotta make that a double. Just a couple rounds of knuckles beneath the buckle and he'll buckle. If you're in trouble, give him some urine trouble. Hand him his balls until it better learn to juggle. Turn his pebbles into rubble, make him wonder what might have been. Make it sound a sound, but never rise again. Now every man claims to be the toughest and the meanest, but watch it crotch, cause soon the losers will be the wieners. And the winners in all the gladiator arenas, they're always the ones that go straight for the penis. So punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Fucking talk shit, I'm a punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick, what? Fucking talk shit, I'm a punch him in the dick. Punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Fucking talk shit, I'm a punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. You motherfuckers talk shit, I'm a punch him in the dick. I'll give you Willie and Will like you ain't never felt. Soon as I've knelt, I'm a pelt you below the belt like bang. Bust him in the wing like it ain't no thing. Now he really can't hang. But you ain't gotta be a dude, should I dick punch a chick? Cause I don't discriminate when I punch him in the dick. Whether Susie Homemaker or a floozy homewrecker, I'm a decker in the pecker, motherfucker. It could be your mama, better be no drama. You could be the Dalai Lama, I'ma still put it on you with a right, left, yo, dick punched. Then you say, goddamn, my shit's crunched. Scrotum, and then damn near killed him. I don't care if you live in Baltimore, forget about children. You ain't got enough kung fu to bust some ninja shit. Fuck Sun Tzu, you wanna learn the art of war? Punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Fuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. Motherfuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick, yeah. Punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Motherfuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. You motherfuckers talk shit, punch him in the dick. We got a brand new dance called Punch His Ass Right in the Dick. We got a brand new dance called Punch His Ass Right in the Dick. Any of you snotty kids be talking shit? I'ma drop a fist on your naughty bits. I got punches of pitiful. You bet your rear end it'll sting when I start swinging on your genitals, cause then it'll swell up all out of proportion. Looking like an eggplant forced in through your foreskin. Never mind abortion, forget vasectomy. I got your birth control, pow, nut check, homie.
I punch God in the dick, I punch Mary in the dick, I punch Jesus Christ in the dick. Yo, I punch Cheney in the dick, I punch Powell in his colon, I punch George in his bush, I punch Condoleezza Rice.
Punch him in the dick, what? Punch him in the dick, what? Motherfuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. You motherfuckers talk shit, well, I'ma punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick, motherfuckers talk shit straight, punch him in the dick, blah. Punch him in the dick, punch him in the dick. Motherfuckers talk shit, yo, punch him in the dick. I'm gonna punch him in the dick, watch me punch him in the dick. Love to punch him in the dick, born to punch him in the dick. Forever punch him in the dick, sucker punch him in the dick, fruit punch him in the dick, Hawaiian punch him in the motherfucking dick.